everyone. Welcome back to the Full Press NHL podcast. I'm your host, Jim Berenger. I'm joined once again by Sportsology and Philly Hockey Now, Russ Cohen. Russ, thanks for joining the show again today.
Hey, Jim. How are you?
I'm doing well. Let's start off right from the top. Last time you were on, we talked about the changes in Philadelphia. Well, those changes have now become official with the hiring of Keith Jones as the president of hockey operations and the interim tag being removed from Daniel Briere. What are your thoughts on those moves?
My thoughts are there's still a little bit of a gap in experience-wise in the front office. They're going to take a chance. I mean, Briere has been on the job, but not necessarily as an ASGM, as a special advisor. So he's learned a little bit of everything, but not necessarily all about what he needs to do. And Keith Jones is going to support him, and that's fine. But then you're still sort of missing, a component there. We'll see how that works out. Maybe they'll show me that they're not missing a component, but it's a lot of work, and it's going to be a ton of work for Briere. And that's something where, you know, for a new GM, it's a massive challenge.
Yeah, as we spoke, the Flyers are definitely a challenge this year with a lot of things. And now that they, you know, where they know that they're drafting this year, they're going to have to look at a lot of options in that spot.
Yeah, they're going to have to look at options in the draft. They're going to have to look at trying to clear some salary cap. They can't afford to hemorrhage picks anymore. They have to still develop better than they've been developing. It doesn't matter what the NHL record is. So the coach has to sort of ease up on that even a little bit because, you know, he went full steam ahead last year and kind of steered him out of a better draft pick. And I get it. Like, there was a way to do that by playing more youngsters and not playing some of these veterans that were never going to be back, and you'd have gotten a few more losses and you would have gotten, you know, a little better draft pick. You might not have been in the top two, but you certainly wouldn't have been like seven. And so I think those kinds of things, they've got to stop sort of shooting themselves in the foot. I mean, I understand, you know, John Tortorella wanted to sort of make a point and create a standard. And I think he sort of did that. I mean, sure, the Flyers play hard. Okay, that's the standard. But beyond that, there's not much else. Teams don't worry about playing them.
Yeah, no, they don't. I mean, obviously, inside a division, you know, it's always tough. You know, those teams, you know, Devils, Flyers, Rangers, mm-hmm. Flyers, like those matchups, you know, are always going to be tough.
Yeah, games. It doesn't matter what the record is for them.
Yeah, it never does. It doesn't matter. Even during the Devils' rise up to where they are now, it didn't matter who they played. They were playing that team tough, especially for some reason the Pittsburgh Penguins. Don't know why. You can ask somebody in Pittsburgh. They may not even be able to give you the answer why the Devils are so successful against them, but it seems like they really are. But going back to Keith Jones for a minute, he's been really knowledgeable on television. You know, mm-hmm. I've talked to him several times. It feels like everybody's like, this is a good fit because of what he knows. But again, he's never been in that role.
Right. So what he knows of hockey, nobody's going to say anything about. What he knows of hockey operations, that's a whole different thing. You know, when he's talking to people, sure, he's picking up information and it's anecdotal and stuff, but, you know, it's not like you had an apprenticeship and actually worked in the front office and had, you know, daily dealings with what might go on with the hockey club. That's a different thing. Like, now he's in charge of hiring and firing. He's never hired and fired in the NHL level. That's going to be a hard thing to do. I've been in the corporate world where I have hired and fired. And it sounded great when I, you know, first got that, like in my 20s as part of the title. And you soon realize it sucks.
Yeah, that part definitely sucks. It definitely does. That part of the business is never good. I mean, you see it. Steve Yzerman went through the ranks. I think Joe Sakic even went through it a little bit before he took the reins in Colorado. But like, it's, you know, it's such a difficult transition from the booth to management without that level of learning, you could
and
say,
they don't
right?
really have a safety net. I mean, Dean Lombardi can only do so much as an advisor, right? So there's no real safety net. There's no one there with them every day. They're with them every day, like those two. And they're going to have to push each other. And, you know, so we'll see. I mean, again, they're at a point where this draft is super important for their future success. And they've made no changes in that room. They're all the same people. And I've got some issues with the way they've drafted the last few years. So they say they don't. That's fine. But, you know how this process works. You could wake up in 3 years and be very unhappy too.
Yeah, I mean, if you miss in the draft, you're setting yourself back a few years. And, you know, look, going through Lou Lamoriello, the end of the Devils' tenure there. He put that franchise back several years, regardless of how you view Lou. And he's one of the best GMs, but his drafting and developing towards the end, it was not very good. And now the Flyers have to do the same thing. They really have to draft and develop well, as you've been saying.
Well, it wasn't Lou. Lou would bring in his draft guy. I won't mention who it was, but there was a time where he did a lot of great drafting, and then definitely it fell off for him. And
oh, yeah.
So, and you're right. And once that happened, it really hurt the franchise. Now, they've been a lot better. They've been a lot better for the last 3 years, and really 4 years. And so that's something where that's a big difference. I know people in you know, in their front office and scouting, and they, and, you know, and they're good. And they're really good, and it was smart. And so they have the right team there now, and that's why, you know, the Devils are where they are, really. That's a big reason.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you know, it was funny. The first time I saw this, the hiring of Jones and the Briere thing, it just reminded me of the Oilers back in the day when they would bring in former players. And I'm like, is this going to be Edmonton Oilers 2.0? And I'm just thinking in my head. And it has a chance to be. But again, you know, Briere, to me, it seems like a guy that knows what he can do. But again, these two guys are, you know, first year on the job. You know, you can't mess this up.
No, there's no, like, you know, I understand that sometimes a team will hide behind the rebuild word. And right now, you know, they're talking it finally, but it took until Fletcher was just about gone for them to talk about it. But talking about it, they still haven't really designated how long they think it will take. Most teams nowadays have given that transparency on how long it would take. I believe the Rangers spelled it out. I know the Red Wings spelled it out, and they said 5 years. And the Flyers don't want to say 5 years. I know they don't. So they're not going to say 5 years. So they believe they could probably do it faster. And to me, that's when you're sort of on a slippery slope right at the very beginning there. Now, they say they're going to do everything right. That's nice. But again, you have to prove it to me. Saying it is one thing. You have to start showing that, yes, I see that what you're doing here, and you might finally be on the right road. But there's a big difference between promising me that and showing me that.
Yeah, and you mentioned the Rangers. I know they accelerated their rebuild a little bit because Artemi Panarin. I mean, that
Panarin helps. Fox wanted to go there. Yeah. All of a sudden, it's like, yeah, you can't not sign those guys. And so once you do, yes, of course, the rebuild was over. Like, that's obvious.
Yeah. But speaking of the Rangers, now they have a decision to make with the coaching change. They removed Gerard Gallant after two seasons, back-to-back, 100-point years. And, you know, there's some quarrels in the room.
Well, listen, you're going to go with 100-point years. You're going to start going with the Leafs, too. 100 points? Might as well bring Sheldon back.
No, I mean...
100 points doesn't mean anything. The regular season is important, don't get me wrong. But 100 points doesn't mean anything. And I know a lot of people, I don't mean to pick on you. A lot of people have been throwing that around, though.
No, absolutely. And that's a fair point because, look, yeah, he does a great job in a regular season, but adjustments in the playoffs, you saw the New Jersey Devils' speed was a factor. And they didn't adjust.
Yeah, they matched up against the Kane line as much as they could with Hughes, and they were destroying him because Kane can't get back on defense in the condition he's in. And they knew that, and they took advantage. Now, what happened with the Devils, in my estimation, was they just broke down at the end. They went as far as their talent was going to take them. You know, Schmid was fine, but they just broke down as a team. Everything else broke down because they just don't have enough support staff yet as players, and they'll get there.
Yeah, they'll definitely get there. But with the Rangers, where do you think they look, and who do you think they look at?
Well, I know there's the thought about Jay Pandolfo, but the problem with that was, and the reason I didn't have him on my list was a lot of coaches have left Boston University quickly in the last few years, and they had good success this year. And I don't know if he's just going to necessarily just leave that for the Ranger job. You know, there is this thought, if you're a really good college coach, you could hold on to that job for 10, 15 years, making very good money. You're not making NHL money, but you're making very good money. 10 to 15 years of that money compared to 2 years possibly of NHL money. And then having to look for a job again, that's the trade-off, right? And so that's where Pandolfo may not want to do that. I looked at who else? Oh, John Gruden, who was with the Bruins. He's an assistant there, a really bright mind. I think he's a guy that has a certain amount of experience. And obviously, yes, they got ousted from the playoffs, but they had an amazing season. And he certainly was a part of that. Jay Leach with Seattle, former player, has done some coaching and he's an assistant with Seattle. So that program's obviously on the way up. They've been doing really well as a team. So I might be looking for someone like that because they have a lot of players that shouldn't need like this old coach, like, you know, Joel Quenneville to kind of push them. I don't think that's the answer. They have a lot of players that still need to develop. And I think you got to bring in a coach there that can develop, can handle the market. And this is one time where I think like having a former player and both of those guys played, I think that's where it sort of maybe helps you navigate the New York marketplace because Gallant, look, I was in on those press conferences last year when things were going right and he still was very awkward in them and was never comfortable in front of all that media with all those questions. And I think these guys are a little bit more trained for that.
Yeah, it does seem like we're going towards the new generation of coaches here. The retreads may be stopping. Hopefully they do. Maybe. Again,
still
we see
the NHL.
Exactly. It's still the NHL. Exactly. I mean, we see what Martin Saint-Louis is doing in Montreal, and it seems to be working. Rob Brendamore, yeah, former player down in Carolina. And I agree. I think that's the way they look. Do you think maybe some miracle they sneak out Andrew Brunette? I don't know. I mean, I think the Devils really want to keep him.
No, and I think so, too. And the problem with Brunette is we don't know what went wrong last year, why he left for a little while. New York is a bad place. If there's some things in your life that aren't right. And so I don't know if they want to go down that road either.
Yeah, I agree with you on Pandolfo.
He's a great mind. Trust me, he's a great coach.
Absolutely. I agree with you on Pandolfo, though. I think the fact that he's up already there first season, I don't think he's going to want to jump ship right away. I think he's going to establish himself there. And they had such a great year.
They did. And that's why I don't see that happening either.
No, and, you know, again, his ties to the Boston Bruins, too, I know he's done some, like, advisory work before he took that job, so I wouldn't be shocked if he ends up in that organization somehow. You know, there's another name out there. Now, again, Pittsburgh, they're looking to make changes in their front office. They haven't really hired their president of hockey ops yet or their GM, and I know they say Mike Sullivan's involved, but I know that's a name that's out there as well, even though he's still got a contract.
I mean, he is involved. He has a contract. He pretty much was a power broker as far as deciding if Ron Hextall was going to stay or go. I don't think they're going to send him off and let him coach for the Rangers. This is a fallacy. This is just like off-season fodder, clicks, whatever. Hey, this could happen, the what-if kind of article. It's not happening.
He's going to stay. He's staying in Pittsburgh. And he should. They have
there's
good
no
team.
Coach, there's no GM on earth that's going to walk in there and say, we don't want Mike Sullivan as the coach.
Right, exactly. It's like getting rid of John Cooper these days. Right. These two guys and Brendan Moore are probably the three best in the business right now.
Yeah. They're not going to just say, hey, you know what? I've got my own guy. I don't want Sullivan. No.
Yeah, they're going to keep it.
And I think ownership's going to let this new GM know, Sullivan's here. You got to work with him.
Yeah, and I think
Torts. He's in that Torts spot right now. That's where he's at.
Yeah, he is. And, you know, again, you want to call rumors, off-season fodder. I know there's been a lot of talk about management or ownership being involved, bringing back Malkin in Pittsburgh, because I guess Hextall wanted to make the tough decision on that.
Yeah, but, you know, again, somebody brought up those quotes from a couple of years ago. I read them on the show when they popped up back on Twitter about he in Russia and the U.S. And I don't know. I mean, if I'm on that ownership group, I may look at Malkin and say, maybe we should move on from you, because at some point the fans could turn on him. They may be doing him a favor because, you know, that's a very blue collar market. And if all of a sudden they start latching on to those quotes and that feeling, and he doesn't correct himself, that could be a bad look. So that's where I think maybe you could see Malkin get traded. Maybe, you know, that's the possibility of that happening exists now.
Yeah, definitely. I could see that happening too. It's going to be interesting to see who they get as a president of hockey operations and general manager. I know the search is going on right now.
I don't think it'll be Dubas. I think now Dubas has basically set the market that he's either coming back or he's not doing anything. So I think the thought was Dubas, and now I think they've crossed that off.
Who do you think lands there?
I know there's talk of Eric Tolsky, because the only way he could leave Carolina is if he was a GM. So, you know, he's a bright guy. So that's a possibility. As far as another candidate, I haven't really been looking at the Pittsburgh angle of it yet, to be honest. Bartolski is certainly one where I think he's number one on their list. Beyond that, I don't know who they're going after. The same as I don't know who the Leafs, other than Quenneville, they'll probably test the league, who they're going to go after either. But I think they're going to, you know, get rid of Sheldon Keefe, because while he is a good coach, I just don't – he's had enough time to prove whether he could do it with this team, and he hasn't. And so I think that's going to be part of the process of change with them.
Well, you mentioned the Leafs, the core four again. They don't get it done. It seems like it's the same old script. Do you think they finally blow this thing up and stop running it back?
Yeah, no, I think they will. I think it will be Marner or Nylander that goes. I think now that teams can see that there's a possibility that these guys might shake loose, that I think Dubas, when he gets rehired, will get a lot of offers. And I think now that's why he's sort of saying, you know, I'm going to listen to everything, because those guys could, you know, solve some problems if they can get a number one defenseman or they can get a goalie. You know, these are things I still think they need. I'm not satisfied with their goaltending.
Mm-mm. No, I don't think so. I mean, Joseph Woll did all he could.
Fan, you're barely satisfied probably with your goaltending, and I think it's just slightly better than the Leafs.
Yeah, I mean, look, watching the Devils, analyzing the Devils, I mean, look, their goaltending was exposed. I mean, Akira Schmidt is 22 years old. He did all he could do. Like, right. Joseph Woll did all he could do. If they had, like, I'm not saying this is happening. You know, again, off-season fodder, but if Connor Hellebuyck or a name like that,
yeah,
yeah, exactly. But if you can get somebody like that, that solves a lot of problems.
Sure. But I think, you know, and I know people think maybe you could trade for Demko. Maybe, but maybe he doesn't want to leave. So these are the things: Demko, Hellebuyck, Gibson. We're going to find out pretty quickly if they're all staying. Like, I think most likely they're all staying. I even think Winnipeg will just kind of ride it and decide at the deadline what to do with Hellebuyck based on how the team's doing. I just don't think they're going to trade him out of hand, because then they're basically saying we're not making the playoffs, and they can't do that in that market. So
no, they can't. They can't. No, I agree with you on that. Not to mention the Pierre-Luc Dubois situation, right. Blake Wheeler, Scheifele. I mean
Wheeler, so I don't think they're worried about. Scheifele, they might be able to get back, might. And Dubois's gone. Like, we all know he's gone. So they'll do something about that at some point for sure.
Yeah, and look, New Jersey, they have some issues to fix defensively too. They have free agents, you know, Timo Meier.
Brat. Now I'm I'm not giving Brat the same contract he was going to get 2 months ago. So he's going to have to come to grips that, you know, I'm probably going to offer him like 4 years and maybe like $6.5 million.
Spot on. That's what I would give him.
That's what I'm giving him. And then this is, you know, listen, you want to be with us? This is what we're offering you. If you don't, and listen, 4 years from now, you're going to be a very good player still at a young age. You got a chance to still hit big in free agency. Be a part of this or don't, but this is what we could afford. That's what I would do with Brat. I still think it will be a mistake to let Severson go, but I think they're going to. And him, he's going to do very well for another team. Like, that's a guy where the Devils are going to feel like down the road that that's a mistake, that they've sort of misused him really for like the last 3 years. Like, they've never had the right spot for Damon Severson. So, but they have to figure it out. It's either Severson or Graves. I think that's the way it's shaken out on those two. I don't think both will be back.
Yeah, you were going to say, sorry to cut you off, you were going to say there's a name to watch out for potentially for New Jersey?
No. Okay. I wasn't going to say that. I was just going through like what the Brat situation is and what I feel it is. I think right now, you know, you got Hughes in the lineup now, so you could lose a defenseman for sure. And I still think Hughes has a lot of work to do defensively. I do. Offensively, he doesn't have any work to do. Nemec probably starts the year with them. You see how he is. If both of those guys are in there, though, they are going to have to divvy them up like young guy, veteran, young guy, veteran, young guy. So they can't lose all their veterans on D, because you could see even the Rangers, when they tried to put too much youth on the blue line, you do it too fast and you have problems. And so that's a big deal. I don't know what the Devil's going to do with Blackwood. I don't think he's tradable. So maybe they'll buy him out. I don't know. I don't know what the buyout looks like on him. I would look at it, though, because I just don't know if it's worth it to have him around anymore. I guess they're going to come back with the two they've got, and you got to hope that, you know, Vanacek can still be a good regular season goalie and that Schmid's got another level that he shows you either next year or the year after, which is always possible. Like goaltenders, you never know. It could go up to 24, 25 sometimes with them. So, you know, I had to go back and look at notes and like, oh yeah, I kind of looked at Schmid years ago and didn't think that much of him. But he certainly, and last year, I know I didn't think much of him when I saw him come into games. And this year, I was kind of like, all right, he's a decent goalie, decent. But he showed another level. So, you know, that's what they're going to have to hope on. But, you know, so I think that's where they're at right now.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think Blackwood's coming back. I don't see Miles Wood coming back either.
Nah, I mean, that's just another – that's not a big deal.
No, that's not a big deal. I mean, Meyer, the number is what you're going to get for him. Like, what where do they settle there?
What are you going to get for Wood? What's his?
Meyer. Like, where do you think they say? Yeah.
Yeah. Meyer. Now, that's an interesting one because I'm not qualifying him at a 10. I'll tell you that. So I'm going to talk to him and hope that he is going to want to sign for less than 10. But the thing is, like, they have to really decide, was he a good fit or not? He was good as far as playing good, tough hockey, playing hard against the boards and showing him intangibles. He wasn't good mixing in the offense. And so they have to decide whether they really want Timo Meier or not. Nobody's given him 10, but somebody might give him 8.5, 9. And so that's where you have to play that. Now, if you're going to qualify him at 10, but you really don't want him, then you have to trade him to someone that's willing to pay him 10 for the 1 year. So that's, they may do that to regain assets, but to me, it's not a slam dunk. I keep him.
Yeah, no. And then do you think, going back to Brad for a second, do you think the Devils have a Jesperi Kotkaniemi situation where that he could get offer sheet and he takes it?
I mean, offer sheets are rare, but I do think it's possible. I don't know which team out there would want that, though, because while he is a good player and good and fast and he covers both ends of the ice, I don't know if he's shown enough. He's not as young as Kotkaniemi was. Carolina was basing this model on a lot of ceiling, and he may have finally, you know, hit his ceiling this year, which he was supposed to hit years ago, but, you know, Montreal screwed that up. So it's just fact. They brought him up way too soon. I mean, it was the number one center. Like, all those things were bad. So I can't say there isn't a team out there that won't do it, but I think the Devils are fairly safe with that one. I do. I think what they need to do is something similar to what the Leafs did. Get a guy like Nola Chari for a year. Those are the guys you need to replace, like from the Woods and stuff. So you have more like an old Devils fourth line, kind of like from the John Madden days. I think that with the talent they have now, and you hope that the goaltending takes a jump, that might be enough to get them further in the playoffs. I think that's more of what they should be looking at.
Yeah, it's similar to what the Rangers probably should have done this year.
Right.
Like they did last year, because I think that's the one big criticism Chris Drury's taking is that he went big game hunting and he didn't do it like he did last year.
Well, he didn't go big game hunting. It went hunting for him, and he turned down Kane the first time. And I was told that, you know, like you heard out there, but Kane really wanted to go to the Rangers to the point where they were really kind of putting pressure on the Rangers to take him. And me, I wouldn't have taken him. Like I told you, I was against it. Drury eventually gave in on that, and it definitely changed that team. It screwed up the power play for weeks. Like, there's so many things. I'm not going to revisit it. But in the end, yeah, part of that is true because of that. And that's where, you know, the only thing that worked out for him was, you know, Mikola was a good pickup for them. He was okay. That was good getting him in the Tarasenko deal. And Mott was really good. Other than that, yeah, I mean, right now the Devils are at a point where, yeah, they need good role players.
Yeah, and then with the Rangers, do you think Tarasenko comes back? I know Kane's probably not coming back.
I mean, I don't think he should. I know the scenario that I foresee with Kane is he gets the surgery and everybody waits. Everybody waits to see what he looks like after the surgery because they saw what he looked like this year. And I wouldn't want to give this Patrick Kane that I saw a 3-year deal or something that, you know, what he's looking for. I get he's got an ego. He's not going to come in 1 year cheap to prove himself. He's not going to do that. So I wait. And I think the whole hockey world's going to wait. They're going to wait for the surgery. They're going to wait to see what he looks like skating somewhere, whether he's skating with the Leafs or whoever, just to kind of, you know, before camp. And then I think that's when somebody will bite on him. But I don't think until then, no.
And then Tarasenko's no for you.
No, it's a no. I mean, he did a pretty good job. Don't get me wrong. I just don't feel like that's what they need. So I feel like they still have to shore up the blue line, and they may have to move someone like Keandre Miller to do it. They may have to move Miller and get a more physical presence rather than a more offensive presence. I think because with Fox, he takes up 28 minutes to 30 minutes a game with great offense and thinking and everything out there. Schneider's got a little offense, you know. They don't need Miller's offense as much as they need him to be better defensively or a little more physical, and he's not doing that. That's not so far really a part of his game. You know, he's okay as far as preventing some goals, but then he does have moments where he's not. And I, you know, and so, you know, some big guys are never going to be physical. That's not what I mean here. I just mean with good angles and stick work and gap control and those things. So I think they need to get a more defensive defenseman in there, and not Gabranson, not somebody who's just way past it, but something like, you know, who could really help them that way. And that would be a big thing, you know, maybe like a Gudas type, something a little better than that. That would go a long way for them because, and it's not even so much they need the physicality, they just need someone else they could really count on. You already have a great goalie. You already have an offense that most times is working. You have a power play that should be one of the best in the league, but defense is like the last bastion for them.
Yeah, and obviously they have Alexis Lafreniere and Kaapo Kakko, two guys that potentially could move, but they also need more ice time. And watching the Worlds, I'm like, wait a minute, this is the same player from the Rangers? Oh, no, this looks like the kid that was drafted in 2017?
No.
2019, right?
2019.
Yeah.
No, I'm with you. Or was it 2020? No, 2019.
Yeah, it's a Jack Hughes draft. Yeah, it was a draft. Yeah. Jack Hughes, yeah.
So, yeah, I just look at it and I say he needs more power play time. He needs a line for the whole year. So if they decide on the kid line, that's his line. And you keep that line the whole year, but give him a little more ice time. He has developed the other part of his game really well, the physical part, playing in front of the net, playing away from the puck. All those things have worked out really, really well. He just has, you know, and his scoring is going up incrementally, but that is a function of them. I don't think that's on him. And I know a Ranger fans think otherwise. Now, with Kakko, I do think his offense isn't going to be what we thought it was going to be, but he is tenacious on defense. He's a terrific, you know, he's a better skater than he used to be, but yeah, he's a really terrific defender and he's really good at cycling the puck and controlling the puck in the offensive zone. So if you could get the right offensive, you know, the right line mates for him, he could really get some assists setting up somebody by the hard work that he does. Cause you know, again, he was one of the hard, you know, he was giving Jack Hughes all he could handle. Like Jack Hughes did not have a good series against the Rangers, and Kakko was a big reason why.
Yeah, he played great. I thought he's played well. I mean, now Lafreniere is another story. Is does he just need to change his scenery, or just does he need more ice time?
No, it was 2020 for Lafreniere.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Lafreniere 2020 and Kakko was 2019, right?
Yeah. Don't doubt me, Jim. No.
I was doubting
that's
myself.
Little,
I was
that's
like
a little foggy.
Yeah, I was like, wait a minute, Kakko went 2019? Did he go earlier? Right. It's like, wait, no, I know Lafreniere went 2020 because I was watching it with friends in a bar.
Yeah.
That was the COVID
year. You
said
the Hughes draft, and I'm like, no. It's not that.
No. I think Kakko was the Hughes draft. Lafreniere was a year after.
He was the number two to Hughes, yes.
Yeah. But with Lafreniere, do you think he needs a change of scenery or just need more ice time?
No, more ice time, more opportunity. Don't get rid of him. I think it would be a mistake. I keep both of them. I still have to give them bridge deals and just see what they still have. But I'm keeping both of them. You know, you see Hedl took a little longer than they thought, and he's developed. Get me the right coach. I think these guys will develop. But stop bringing in guys like Kane and Tarasenko and start making these guys the guys. That's what you need to do. You need to put them in those positions instead of bringing in the older guys to do those jobs. I think that's the part that Chris Drury sort of mismanaged there.
Yeah, I agree with that for sure. Now, everybody's favorite topic, the Arizona Coyotes, the never-ending story. That is the Arizona Coyotes. The vote came in. Tempe says no. And what's next?
Well, I was not surprised. And I had been asking around. Like, I had no people in the construction business out there and people who live out there. And I have been saying all along, I didn't think this was going to pass. And I said it again on the Hockey Buzzcast yesterday. I didn't think it was going to pass. And Kevin Allen agreed with me. Now, I said, even if I was going to be wrong on my premise, what I felt really was rock solid was these were three different things that voters had to vote for. And you had to get them to vote yes on every single one. And I just felt like that wasn't going to happen. Like, you know, in the world that we live in, I felt like that was just too much to ask for. And that's where Kevin Allen agreed with me. He's like, yeah. And he said, you know, voters don't want to pay for anything they perceive as something that's going to cost them money. And I know the NHL said it wasn't going to cost them money. And we can go back and forth on all of the deal stuff. And I knew a lot about it. I looked a lot into it. At the end of the day, it didn't matter. The perception was it was going to cost the taxpayers some money and they weren't going to pay it. And they turned it down. So what did they do? I mean, they have an arena, Jim. I mean, what is your problem with the college that they play at?
It's not an NHL facility.
It's a one-time experience.
It is a one-time experience, but it's also a college facility. Yeah. And it's not an NHL rink. That's
no, and teams have really done a nice job of not complaining about the away locker rooms and all that, because they really – I expected Torts to say something about it. He was nice about it. If they have to keep going back there, it's not going to be nice.
No, it's not going to be nice. I mean, look, you know, they can try again with the Phoenix Suns. I don't know if he wants them even
in
the arena.
Do that. Not with the Suns. I heard months ago they may try and go back to that America West Arena, whatever you call that original one, and try and fix that one up and make it hockey again.
Look, I was there at that old place because my grandmother used to live out there. I went to a game out there. I was lucky enough to sit in the middle of the rink, so I never had the issue of the sight line. But I could tell you, I know people that sat over there, it was not easy to watch a hockey game. But it makes sense because it's downtown Phoenix.
Well, because, again, that's the whole fallacy of this whole argument of Coyotes. And look, I've not been to that market. I've not been to the arena. But I know – when you start saying, well, nobody wants to drive, and when it's got to be downtown, well, they had one downtown, and people did stop showing up when the JRs and whatever left, and the team wasn't any good. Now, I didn't know about the sight line, so that's another problem with it. That's something I didn't know. But supposedly, that was the golden age of Arizona Coyotes hockey, and it didn't last long enough, right? So then they start moving around, and then all of a sudden the complaints happen, and it's like, how many times can you move them around until you realize – maybe it's just not going to happen here. And so I think they're going to be at that point, but they're not going to tell you and me that. They're just it's going to be the moving vans in the middle of the night, and they're going to go somewhere. I think I checked in on the Houston thing, and there were some ups and downs with that, but certainly there's an arena there to take. And I still think at the end of the day, they're going to that's going to happen. I feel like that's still the best opportunity. I know people are talking about Salt Lake. I don't see that one. I don't think it's a rabid enough fan base, and it's definitely not a TV market. Houston's got the TV market. That's why they just have to find an owner that doesn't mind paying rent. And I think they might be able to do that. I think that's been the holdup, is nobody wants to pay rent to the Rockets owner. But if they do, I think you will find that quicker than you'll find the solution with Salt Lake City, because Salt Lake City's not going to pull TV ratings. Like, it's not. I'm sure if I looked up the Utah Jazz's TV ratings, they're not great, especially since the Malone-Stockton days. They can't be good at all.
No, I don't think they're good at all. And yeah, I know Arizona's a big TV market, but at some point you have to
– you could replace Arizona and Houston. But you know what else is happening? And I got into it a little with them on Twitter, is the group from Atlanta. They didn't like what I had to say one day as far as traffic and things like that. But they're looking to – get an arena, and apparently they have a group. And so they're going to make themselves known in these next few weeks, because for this to happen, this is falling right in their lap. Like, they're going to try and talk to Gary Bettman, I'm sure. It's going to get floated out there by a lot of pundits. Does it have a chance? I don't know. Because my feeling is, why would a guy like Snoop Dogg be on the Ottawa Senators front trying to get that deal to happen when Atlanta is the place that all the rappers want to be, and all of them have residences there. So to me, he probably doesn't even think it's going to happen. Otherwise, he would be there, but he's in Ottawa instead, because he sees that that is happening, and all he has to do is kind of help push that, and he could be a richer man, right? Atlanta, that's a pipe dream, man. And it didn't work out great the first time. And I know everybody's got excuses for that one too. All I know is I went there and it was a nice arena and I went to the All-Star game there and I didn't feel the buzz. I liked the city. I thought the people were good. I played on that ice. All that was great, but I just never felt it. And so I don't think I'm going to feel it again either. So I still think Houston's the front runner. I do.
Yeah, I think Houston definitely for me is the front runner. Atlanta, no, you're 0-2. Sorry, you don't get another team. The Flames went to Calgary and the Thrashers went to Winnipeg. No more. Can't do it. Atlanta's tough. And it's college football country. Like, it's football down there. Like, that's what a lot of people.
Even the Falcons do fairly well, but they don't do great. Not like other football teams.
No, it's Georgia Bulldogs all day and night in down there. And, you know, even Arizona is a football market. But look, yes,
definitely a football market. What are they on, their third stadium?
Something like that. And then don't forget, you got the college teams out there and everything. But, you know, like you said, the JR days, what was that? Like 3 seasons they were good. And then everybody left. And then they stink. Winning.
I mean, why did your grandmother keep going to hockey games, Jim?
Because they didn't, you know, they didn't want to go
more.
I'm kidding. I know.
They have a large retiree market out there. And a lot of them don't care about hockey. That's a reality. There are a lot of fans that like the Coyotes. It's not enough to fill them up on a Tuesday night when they're playing the New York Islanders.
Well, that's the same problem the Devils had in the old days when Florida wasn't good. It's like, you really want to go to Tuesday night against the Florida Panthers?
Right.
Like, it's an issue. And hopefully, you know, this Coyotes mess gets situated, because at some point you're going to just have to admit failure that this thing didn't work out the way you wanted.
I think they're at that point, but they're not going to admit it today.
No, but you can tell the demeanor is not the same behind Gary Bettman. I understand they try their best to keep a team in a certain location because they don't like it.
That. I do. I understand it too. But there is a point where you just have to say it's better for the league to be somewhere else.
Yeah, and I think Houston, like you said, if you can get somebody to pay the rent to the Rockets, I think that's the spot. Plus, if you go back east, who's coming back west? Like, now you have an uneven balance of teams.
Yeah, that one, I don't have a today answer for that, because I know the Red Wings aren't coming back. They wanted to be in the east. They made a big deal about it, and so they're staying there. So, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, Columbus is not going west.
No, there's
nobody, because Nashville's in the West. So,
well, there's always somebody. Somebody is going to go.
Yeah, somebody would have to go. But that's the big reason the Leafs wanted to come east. It's a big reason the Red Wings wanted to come. They wanted that the travel was the biggest thing.
Yeah, I'm trying to look at it and decide how this is going to shake out. Yeah, I know the Red Wings are not going to leave. So who would go? Maybe it would be, I think looking at it, maybe they talk to the Blackhawks.
The Blackhawks are already in the West.
Well, Houston would be in the West.
Oh yeah, that's true.
So then they need someone on the East, right?
No, I was saying if Arizona went East.
Oh, if they went east.
Yeah, who would go west?
But why would they go? So who, you mean if they went with Quebec and they would be east? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So like, because Arizona's in the west right now. They're in the central.
Right.
So if they went,
takes over,
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. But I'm saying the Atlanta thing. Say the Atlanta thing happens. Okay,
the Atlanta thing happens.
Then you have an issue.
Maybe they'd have to go out west.
Yeah.
I think looking at that, that might have to be the solution. They may have, or you swap Atlanta out. Maybe, yeah, I just think Atlanta would go west. I think it's going to be simple like that.
Yeah, true. Yeah, definitely.
I'm messing with my head, Jim.
Yeah, no, I know. I'm messing with everybody's head today. It's Wednesday. Sorry about that. But so the Stanley Cup playoffs continue. The conference finals are underway. You hit the nail on the head the last time we talked. Bobrovsky, if he plays, he's one of the best in the world. And Florida's finally done it.
Yeah, I mean, this is Vezina Bob. Like, I know a little bit more about Bob than most because I saw him young as a young guy with the Flyers. Actually, saw him in the World Juniors. Saw him with the Flyers. Know somebody who really got to know Bob, so I kind of know the inner workings of Bob a little bit and how he, you know, thinks and such. And this was just a year where I could tell, with unfortunately what happened with Spencer Knight, that as that happened, he was now the guy. There's no plan B, and he, you know, he responds to that, and so he is responding. And I did feel like Florida picked up more momentum than any other team in the playoffs when they beat Boston, and I'm still feeling like that's the case now. Hurricanes fans don't like me right now, even though pre-playoffs, I went on a local TV show in Carolina, and they asked me about the playoffs, and I said they were going to win the first round. They said, what about more? Are we going to get any further? And I gave them a 50% chance to get to the conference final. So I think that was a fair estimate. And the only reason I picked the Devils, I thought after beating the Rangers, that may have taught them something, and they weren't there yet. Okay. But now I'm looking at Florida like, and it's not an indictment of Carolina. I know what Carolina is. They're a really good hockey team. But sometimes a team does just pick up all that momentum and has that belief, and it just seems like they're that team right now. And I think that's a little too much for Carolina. I do. I like Florida in this series.
Do you think the time off hurts Florida?
No.
Okay.
No. I think right now, I think it helps a guy like Bob, who was losing like 10 to 15 pounds a game because he had been working so hard. So I think that helps revive him. You know, maybe he'll be a little rusty first game, first couple minutes. Probably going to happen. But I think that Tkachuk's got them really going. He may not have had the best series against the Leafs, but he won the mental battle. You saw that he was winning the mental battle early on. And he's rallied his troops. I see a different Anthony Duclair now, the one that I know is super talented and fast. And, you know, all of a sudden now you've got like four or five guys that could score again on Florida. But the biggest key is Ekblad's healthy enough where he's playing great defense now. And when Ekblad can play great defense, he is a real deterrent out there. And he does kick in some offense too, as you saw. So that's the big thing. As long as Ekblad's riding right now, I'm going to ride with Ekblad.
Then over in the West, Vegas and Dallas rematch of the bubble 2020. Who you like?
It's funny. I feel like if Logan Thompson were in there, I would be taking Vegas. I just feel like Vegas is just a step down in goaltending compared to Dallas. I know Ottinger had his bumps, but he's a young guy. But I've been watching him since college days too, and I've been very impressed. He played in some big games too. I think it was for BU, right? So was he BU BC? Sometimes I forget those. But at any rate, I think it was BU, and I've been impressed with Ottinger the whole way. Like, I even got asked on XM when I do the draft show, like when I'm on the draft floor, you know, they asked Jake Ottinger, first round pick, and, you know, Shane Malloy, who I love and I do shows with all the time, he said no, I said yes. And I was right about that. I get, you know, the luck of the blind squirrel. But the fact was, I just saw something in Ottinger then, and I even see it now more than ever, like being one of the best goalies in the league. Kind of thing. So I think with that and Pavelski, Heiskanen's been an unbelievable player. Like, I don't care how many points he scores, I'd still put him in the running for MVP for the Conn Smythe because he's been that big of a difference. Sagan looks like he's rolled it back. I mean, he had double hip surgery. We're kind of like, are we ever going to see the old Tyler Sagan again? I think we're seeing it. I think they have enough of those guys. And look, I think the defense is better on Vegas. I get it. And Jack Eichel outplayed Connor McDavid. Like, technically he did. And that's something where probably everybody was waiting to see if that would happen, like going back to the draft, but it finally happened. All that said, I just have to give that little edge to Dallas. They've been there before. And guys like Roope Hintz, Wyatt Johnston, I don't know how he wasn't in the top three. He was my number two guy on my Calder ballot. I was shocked when he wasn't in the top three. Like, that was like, or at least the three that they put out there. I was like, really? Wyatt Johnston? Meanwhile, he scores a game seven goal and he's like the youngest guy ever to do it. Like, he, you know, I get it. He didn't have all the points, but he had the goals, and goals are hard to get in this league.
Yeah, I was very shocked that he wasn't a Calder nominee. Like, well, he's really
in the top five, but he's just not, you know.
Yeah, but not a finalist, a quote unquote right. Three finalist. And yeah. Yeah, I was very shocked by that. Also shocked that a guy like Morrissey was not a top three for Morrissey for the Norris. Like, I don't get that.
Second or third on my ballot, Morrissey.
Yeah, I didn't get that. I understand Carlson, the 100-point season.
No, he was my number one. Carlson was my number one. Like, he was going to win it no matter what. But I had to give a nod to Josh Morrissey because I watched this guy develop and not develop under the greatest circumstances either. And he was a tremendous player this year.
Yeah, he was. You know, again, Cale Makar, Adam Fox. I mean, those are – it's like, I don't know, go back to
Fox,
when like
– You know, Fox, I saw it in there. Makar is the one that I dropped off because even though he had – you know, points per game and all that was great. He missed some games. And I was like, you know, there's other guys here to sort of celebrate. Cause I knew in the end, Carlson was going to win. Like, that was obvious.
Yeah. So, but look, Stanley Cup playoffs roll on. We touched on a lot of things today, Russ. Thank you so much for coming on the Full Press NHL podcast. Everybody follow Russ. He does great stuff with the draft, Sportsology on Twitter, Philly Hockey Now. Russ, thank you so much.
I'm doing it with Buffalo Hockey Now.
Buffalo Hockey Now. Okay.
I left Philly Hockey Now. So I've done a couple of articles with Buffalo Hockey Now. I just did one on Quentin Musty, local Buffalo kid. So I switched, same company, just switched over a little bit. And then Full Press, like you said. And yeah.
Full Press. Yep. So check Russ out, Buffalo Hockey Now. And, you know, he does great, amazing work, especially with the draft, his draft
ranking. Prospects too.
At least. And check them out all the time, Sirius XM NHL Network Radio, because that's a never miss spot for me. Never miss spot. You're welcome. Of course. But Russ, thank you again for coming on.
All right, Jim. Take care.
Take it easy, everybody. Enjoy the Stanley Cup playoffs.